Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace.
I'm Manny.
And this is a special Future State Spotlight episode. We haven't had a chance to talk about Future State. And now the solicits for the second issues, the solicits for February, are about to drop, which is probably why at the big convention in Brazil this weekend, which was held virtually, it's called Comic-Con Experience, or CCXP. DC had a bunch of panels, and they announced some of the creative teams for the books continuing after Future State is over. So I find it to be kind of interesting, and we're going to break it down and get more into that in a second. But before we do that, a couple other things that I wanted to mention. I did have an interview that came out yesterday, Sunday evening, with a Brazilian creator, actually, and we did talk about CCXP. But the reason we had him on, it was a Kickstarter spotlight, and I know normally we release those on Wednesday, but this current campaign ends on Tuesday night at, I think it's 8:59 Pacific time. It might be 7:59 Pacific time. But I think it's 8:59. So anyway, go check out the interview, check out the campaign, and just go to Kickstarter and do a search for The Few and Cursed, or Google The Few and Cursed Kickstarter. It's a really amazing looking book. They have hit, they're like 1,104% funded. So they have hit over 10 times what their initial $12,000 goal is. They're over $140,000. So it's an amazing, successful Kickstarter. What that means for you when you pledge is that you're getting 39 stretch goals. Like, you're getting 39 more things than you normally would have received had it just, you know, barely funded. So you're getting extra things like a bunch of collectible cards, including some metal ones, getting a bookmark, you're getting a bunch of prints. There's a double-sided dust jacket if you get the hardcover. There's actually a dust jacket now for the soft cover as well. There's cool things like spot gloss on the cover, embossing on the cover. The hardcover is going to have that red foil on the edge of the pages, you know, so when you see it, you know, the book closed, it has that kind of red foil on the pages, which I always think looks super cool. Used to always think they were the fancy books, you know, when it had that gold foil when you're a kid, like on encyclopedias and stuff. So anyway, it's a great series, The Few and Cursed. It's a post-apocalyptic Western with some horror elements thrown in there. There's no more, like, water has become so scarce in the world that it's like the main form of currency. So it's a really great series, and I encourage you to go listen to the podcast, go check out the campaign. And yeah, we Felipe Cogno is the guy who is the writer and co-creator, and he came on the podcast and we talked about it. I can't believe I didn't come across this before, so I could signal boost it with more than just a couple of days. Not that they need my help, you know, they're, like I said, over 1,000% funded. But just to give you all you listeners a chance to listen to that podcast and go join the campaign. But it was also a great chance to talk to Felipe because he lives in Brazil and he's kind of plugged into the comic scene down there. And it was real interesting to get his perspective on what's going on there. Because as I said, the CCXP, it's as big as San Diego or New York. It's like this huge comic convention, and it's been growing. It's been going. This would have been their sixth or seventh year, he said. And the Brazilians are discovering a love of comics, and everybody's wanting to go. It's kind of like San Diego was in maybe, say, 2008, 2009, when it really started exploding with the cosplay and different movies and TV shows and pop culture. You know, Brazil, real estate-wise, like just in terms of land, it's bigger than the United States. And in terms of population, it's bigger. So he was talking about the fact that their readership, their comic readership is actually smaller than what we have in the US, which kind of surprised me a little bit just because they have more people. But again, they're on the upswing, where we're on the downswing. So he was talking about that. He was talking about kind of the native Portuguese comics that are there, and they have a lot of Western stuff. And it, you know, got me thinking about DC making these big announcements at this show. You know, DC's been talking about wanting to be more international. There's a ton of great Brazilian talent. DC's tapped into a lot of it. And, it's just interesting. They're kind of putting their money where their mouth is, at least Warner Brothers or AT&T or whoever you want to say, in terms of, hey, let's make these big announcements at some of these other conventions. Maybe it's just a timing thing. There was, you know, this is the biggest convention, you know, in December when they need to make these announcements. I don't know. I just thought the timing was interesting. And who the creative teams are on these books going forward is interesting as well. So we'll talk about that a little bit as well. But the other thing that I wanted to point out before we start going book by book here, a future state, is something that Manny said. And I don't remember, Manny, if you said this to me while we were recording or if it was something that we talked about after we turned off. But didn't you say something about wanting to get into Marvel but not having a jumping on spot?
Yeah, that was at the end of
was
this
it?
Week. Yeah.
It was after we had turned everything off?
No, okay. It was on. It was on closing thoughts.
Yeah, so speaking of the Brazilian Comic-Con experience and Marvel and wanting to jump on, Marvel did have a panel there, and Tom Brevoort, who is the executive editor at Marvel, was talking about what's coming up after the current Enter the Phoenix story arc. Because Marvel's panel, it was like the end of the panel. I didn't attend the panel. I didn't watch the panel, the virtual panel. So I don't know if they broke it up like, hey, we covered X-Men, cover Spider-Man, whatever. But at the end of the panel, they were talking about Enter the Phoenix, which is the Avengers story that's going on right now, the Avengers story arc where Moon Knight gets the power of the Phoenix, and then eventually I think it's spread out among other heroes. And Tom Brevoort said something about kind of what's coming up next, right? He said that when you have these Marvel Universe storylines that involve the Phoenix destroying a bunch of stuff, what then usually follows after stuff is destroyed is a rebirth, you know, and you can take that kind of literally when you talk about the Phoenix. You know, this is when you talk about the Phoenix as a mythical creature, you know, it's a bird that burns up at the end of its life and then, you know, is rebirthed from its own ashes. So Brevoort mentioned something about that being a theme, the theme of things being destroyed and then being rebirthed, as a big theme for the Marvel Universe in 2021 that could possibly start after the end of the Enter the Phoenix story arc. So you may get your wish, Manny. There may be a new jumping on point for Marvel where it's a little cleaner than things have been. I mean, it's been a while. We were banging Marvel over the head. We were bashing them constantly for all the reboots and all the relaunches. And ever since C.B. Cebulski has taken over, they've stopped that. So maybe 3 years is enough time. They feel like, hey, here's a good jumping on spot. But obviously, it's not going to be called Rebirth for obvious reasons. They're not going to use that term. They'll call it something else. So obviously, I know you weren't following the news. You were busy this weekend, but what are your thoughts on a new jumping on point for Marvel? Will you give it a try? If they relaunch, you know, every book across the line, are you going to go full New 52 and get all the number ones
or check them all out? No, I'll go full New 52 on it and pick out what I like from there. I'll probably start with the characters I like and then by a creative team and then, you know, whatever's left. So that's exciting because you never know where you're going to find those gems. Because, I mean, some books really just, they need to wrap up anyway. Like, as much as we love Immortal Hulk, it's time. And then with so many different, just so many big or events that they do, Carnage events, and they did a bunch of them. I can't even.
Yeah, King in Black is going on right now.
And then with all the stuff they're doing with X-Men and whatnot, it's a really good time to just kind of, you know, cleanse the palette and give us some classic characters. And I hope that they are smart enough to keep the classic core characters, you know, keep Tony Stark as Iron Man, you know, keep the regular Fantastic Four. It'd be interesting if they decided to do something with X-Men or just keep that the way it is, because that's not that old, what they've been doing with the X-Men.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you bring up a good point, because some of these titles, you're right, it is probably time for a refresh. But Iron Man, we just got a new take from Christopher Cantwell, and that's going real well. X-Men is selling better than it has in a long time, with Jonathan Hickman steering the ship. So you would think that, and or Mortal Hulk, you know, even though you and I think it's dragging a little bit, and I would think maybe a lot of people would agree with that, it's still a great title. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like we're spoiled, you know, it's so good, but it's not like when we first were reading it, first 12 to 20 issues, there were all these surprises. It was like, oh, they're doing this cool thing. Oh, they're doing that cool thing, body horror, whatever. Now it's like, it's the quality so high, it's hard. How can you raise it any higher? You know, how can you keep topping yourself?
Yeah, you sent him to hell and back.
Yeah, and I've gone on record as saying, as good as Immortal Hulk is, it's not my favorite Hulk type story. My favorite Hulk type story is Bruce Banner on the run, kind of like, I have nostalgia for the old Bill Bixby TV show where he's out there on the road helping people and the government's after him, and that's my favorite kind of Hulk. So clearly, you know, Immortal Hulk is not that. It's got some shades of that.
It does, just a couple of them, but it just goes a little too over the top sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, my favorite Hulk in the comics is the Professor Hulk. So like the Peter David run, 377 with that day glow green cover, when it was, you know, Hulk had Bruce Banner's personality and he was kind of stable. And he was like, he was a straight up superhero. So, but anyway, that's just my take on it. Spider-Man's another one. I feel like Nick Spencer's been telling the same story for over 50 issues. You know, issue one of his series, we were introduced to Kindred, and he's kind of been pulling the strings for 3 years now in the background. And we finally discovered who it is. I won't spoil it here, but that's getting ready to come to a close. So it'd be a good time for somebody else to come on to Spider-Man. So it's weird. Some of the titles, they seem like they are ready for a refresh or a rebirth or a relaunch or whatever you want to call it. But some others like Iron Man, X-Men, maybe not so much. So it'll be curious to see what this means when Brevoort says there's going to be a rebirth. The other thing that I worry about, if Marvel does do a line-wide relaunch of number ones, I mean, and they could do that and still keep these newer creative teams. They could relaunch all the X-Men books with new number ones, keep all the same creative teams. They could relaunch Iron Man, but still keep Christopher Cantwell and Kafu on it. I mean, that's not a problem. But the thing that Marvel would do, and you know this is true, Manny, they would relaunch line-wide all new number ones. Every one of them would be $5.99 for like 40 pages you know, 32 pages instead of 32 pages of story instead of 20 pages of story, 40 page comic with ads. They'd all be $5.99.
And bet they all have very similar intros to one another as far as their introduction pages.
Yep. And then, oh, look, we're giving you a break when we drop it back down to $4.99. You know, now that's still a $5 comic. And right now they're half the time Marvels are $4.99. The other half the time they're $3.99. So that, you know, that would be a problem as well. Because when DC launched New 52, that was another thing that they said, is say, hey, we're holding the line at $2.99. You know, it was 52 books at $3 each. And there was a lot of, you know, a lot of buzz, a lot of great talk about how many people were jumping on. It was a good jumping on point. And there was a ton of shops that did these bundles where you bought, and that's how I got my new 52 books. For the first three issues, I got every book. Like I ordered a bundle where I paid a little less than $100 and I got, you know, every issue. So of the new 52, I have every number one, every number two, and every number three of all the series. And then I just, after that, I just bought what I liked, but it was cheaper obviously than, you know, I didn't pay $150. I got a discount for it. It was like, I think 60% or 66% or 70%, somewhere around there is what I paid of the cover. So that discount allowed me to try everything. Now, if Marvels are like $6, they're $5.99 for all these number ones, and you're thinking, okay, let's say there's 40 titles and there's 20 you want to check out. If you could find a bundle where you paid half price so you could get all of them for the price that you would pay for the 20 you wanted. If you could get all 40 for the price of 20, would you do it?
That wouldn't, you know, that'd be a good deal. I mean, given the situation right now in the entire industry and the world in general, I think it would be their best interest to keep the price down and the interest high, because, you know, just the price alone is going to scare away some people. But if you're able to, you know, you advertise it, hey, for the first, you know, these couple of issues, this is what we're going to do, the special, because we want you to read these books. We want you to get involved with these characters and these creative teams, and just kind of the same way they did with DC's Rebirth, just make them really accessible. It'll bring you attention to certain titles that maybe you did not know you wanted to read also.
Yeah, it's so interesting, because I always feel like DC tries to do that for their fans. Hey, we know how expensive comics are. We're going to try to keep the price down for you. And Marvel does the other thing, right? Where they say, it's so good, you have to have it no matter what the price is. It's kind of like, I don't know if you know what a Peloton bike is, but when the Peloton bikes first came out, they were much cheaper than they are now. They're like between $1,500 and $2,000. When they first came out, they were under $1,000. And people looked at them and they went, you know, it's just another exercise bike.
Right.
When they raised the price and made it seem like it was this really like high quality, sort of, you know, expensive luxury item, then more people wanted it because now it's special. I feel like that's what Marvel does. That's what Disney does. They're like, well, don't.
Well, you know, with the way things are right now, I would think that they're, you know, the mouse is going to need to try to bring in money somehow. So bring in some little bit from from comic books if they could.
I don't know. I don't see them doing that. But anyway, it's all speculation at this point. We don't know if there's going to be a line-wide relaunch. It just, again, it all comes from Tom Brevoort saying after the end of this Phoenix story arc, there's going to be a rebirth in the Marvel Universe. So I guess we'll see. Meanwhile, over on the other side of things, Future State, like we're here to talk about, I have heard from retailers, firsthand knowledge of from retailers, they have told me that they have not seen pre-order numbers like this in a very, very long time.
Good.
A couple of things are helping to drive this. First of all, we know that in the pages of Future State Teen Titans number one, we're going to get the first comic book appearance of Red X. Apparently, he was in one of the Teen Titans cartoons. I don't watch them, so I don't know. We also know in Future State Wonder Woman, we're going to get a new Wonder Woman, a person of color, and whether or not it's her first appearance or maybe she showed up in, at least as a little girl, in Wonder Woman Annual 4, we're not sure. So those two titles are definitely being ordered heavily. Titans, number one, and Wonder Woman. But beyond that, a lot of people are interested. Hey, what is this? It's a clean jumping on point. You don't need to know anything that goes on before. The other thing I think that's really helping, at least from the retailer side of things, and I think DC is smart to do this, driving the numbers up. Because the thing is, when you get good pre-order numbers, you can kind of share those around. And then word of mouth is like, oh, hey, look, a lot of people are, why are so many people interested in Future State? I don't want to miss out. I better be interested in it too. I better check out what it's all about too. So it's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you had good numbers, it's going to lead to good numbers, which if you have good numbers, it's going to lead to more people picking it up. And, you know, it perpetuates a cycle. DC's made all of these books returnable. So from a retailer standpoint, hey, my risk is much less. Why not order heavy on these books? Because it seems like people are interested and you know you're not going to get stuck with the product. So I think there's a lot of good things happening. At DC, again, a lot of the announcements made internationally today and yesterday, this weekend. So it's interesting. It's interesting to see what's going to happen. The other thing that's happening is 5G. We know that got kind of thrown out the window when the video left. We know a lot of the work was done already. We have no official word but it makes sense. Manny and I have talked about it. I've talked to other comic press people. Everybody to a man kind of believes that this future state, these future state issues are what would have been 5G. So AT&T had already paid for it. Warner Brothers, DC Comics, whoever you want to say, they had already paid these creators to start creating the 5G stories. And then the plug gets pulled, or the rug gets pulled out from under them, however you want to say it, when Didio leaves. Okay, we're not doing 5G anymore. But we have this huge chunk of work that we've already paid for. We know AT&T is pinching pennies like crazy right now. So what do? They say, hey, let's do an event and show DC readers a quote-unquote possible future that, quote, could have been, end quote. And that way we get use out of these stories and this material that we already paid for, even though we're not going down the 5G route. And it's interesting because, you know, Manny and I have talked about this several times. The last convention we both went to, Long Beach Comic Fest, I think it was, where we went to the Dan Didio panel and he was talking about everything counts. You know, we're going to have these different generations and everything's going to count. Now we're throwing out the different generations, but we're still, everything counts, right? Still light continuity. The other thing that this does, having this future state event happen over January and February, is it gives DC editorial time to settle down after all the people have left. You know, the layoffs that got announced a couple months ago, it was announced 90 days before most of those people, by law in California, you have to give, you know, 90 day notice for people under contract. So now we're going to have a chance. We're going to have 2 months for DC to kind of settle, to see what the new status quo is going to be. How many books can we put out? How much manpower do we have? And what are those books going to look like? According to a lot of what we've heard about titles being announced already coming out of future state, it seems like a lot of the same creative teams that are on these future state titles are the same creative teams that are going to keep working on those characters when their regular series comes back. And it leads me to believe that, okay, we're getting this glimpse into a possible future, but when books start back up in March, it may be that we're still getting the 5G storylines that were pitched, but just tweaked for the current DC timeline. And I have absolutely no idea if that's true or not. It could be that what happens if we find out, hey, future state isn't just 2 months and it just continues. It could happen, or they could call it something else, or maybe we're getting new DC number ones in March, or maybe they're going back to the previous numbering. There's just so much that we don't know. What we do know is a lot of the creative teams for these characters are staying on the books going forward. So this one we don't know. I'm going to start going down the line of the solicitations here. Future State Aquaman number one, written by Brandon Thomas, art and cover by Daniel Sampier. And this one we don't know. Who is taking on Aquaman? If Aquaman is even going to continue? We know Kelly Sue DeConnick finished up her run, and she talked about the fact that there was no one to kind of hand the baton to when it ended with her last issue last month. There's not an Aquaman Eternal Winter title. So will there be an Aquaman title after February, after these future state titles? We just don't know. I know that Tom Taylor has been talking about having some incredible pages come in recently from Daniel Sampier. So whatever Daniel's doing artistic wise come March is with Tom Taylor. And that got me thinking, well, could Tom Taylor be writing Aquaman? He's got a creator owned property called The Deep. Tom's Australian, for those that don't know. He's familiar with writing aquatic adventures, and I know you're a fan of Tom Taylor. What would you think about Tom Taylor writing Aquaman, Manny?
It would be a good idea. I mean, he's taken what was supposed to be just a small event in Deceased that honestly at first to me seemed really really far-fetched, and kind of it seemed like an idea that was too too much for a series, and now he's expanded it into a couple of other series that are going to be wrapping up soon, including the digital first one. So I think that for him to take on Aquaman and everything that is underwater would be a good place for him. He probably tell pretty good story there.
Yeah, I kind of agree. It's somebody he hasn't worked on. We know he's a big fan of all these classic DC characters. It makes sense. I just don't know why. So why not keep Brandon Thomas on it? Maybe Brandon Thomas is on something else. Maybe didn't work out. I mean, Brandon's written other things. He's written some stuff over at Lion Forge. He's got, I think it's called Horizon, a series over at Image. So not sure about that, but I'm going on record. I think Tom Taylor and Daniel Sampier are going to be on Aquaman come March. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. Another one that people are really excited about, the next Batman. This is from John Ridley with art by Nick Darrington. There's also, in this future state, there's also an Outsider story written by Brandon Thomas with art by Sumit Kumar. And then there's an Arkham Knights story by Paul Jenkins with art by Jackson Herbert. So I don't think much is going to come of this. This is a possible future Batman. We know James Tynan's on Batman. We know he has more Batman stories to tell. So think of this as kind of an Elseworlds take. I don't really think we're going to see anything come out of this. We do know that Batman and the Outsiders ended, the series that Brian Edward Hill was writing. It wouldn't necessarily surprise me to see Brandon Thomas do an Outsiders book, a Batman and the Outsiders book. We know Batman is, the golden child over there at DC, and AT&T are big fans of them. So could we see Brandon Thomas write Batman? Possibly. Could we see John Ridley continue on Batman? I don't think so. John Ridley's more of a pinch hitter type guy, come in and do things like other history of the DC universe. Clearly he's a very in demand person in the film industry. So I don't see him really doing any sort of long-term month in, month out projects. But I am very curious, as a lot of Batman fans are, to see what the next Batman is all about. So I think we know Tynan's still on Batman, and the same artist, Jorge Jimenez, is going to be on it with him. So I'm not sure if we can read anything into the next Batman. What are your thoughts, Manny?
John really can do whatever he wants at DC. I would love to see him in a Batman the Outsiders, or I would love to see him, but with the Outsiders obviously being led by, kind of like they had done before, by Jefferson Pierce. I love the voice that he's given Black Lightning currently in the other history of the DC universe. Either that, or have him take on a John Stewart book after kind of, what he, I felt like, man, he really let him have it in that title, but see him do a story with him in that role, I think would be fantastic too. I am very curious as to what's next for Batman. I kind of, it is what it is of the storylines we're getting now, because it's of their time. And a lot of times our comic books sometimes are the platform that some of these creators use to voice their opinions. So that's why we see a lot of anti-vigilante and anti-government and things like that. And it's kind of, I felt like in the last few months in Batman and in Detective, it's kind of spilled over after Joker War, and I'm kind of ready for a fresh take. So hopefully that happens. 2021.
Yeah, I'm also curious, so what other Batman titles are we going to have? And we know we're going to have Batman. We know, right, we're going to have Detective. We know we're going to have Batman Superman, because the creative team was announced for that.
Mm-hmm, that's a good one.
Like I said, we've got an Outsiders story in the next Batman number one, and we've got an Arkham Knights story from Paul Jenkins. Now, there's going to be, actually, some of these future state titles are going to be every 2 weeks. They're going to be two issues a month, and some of them are only one issue a month. So you're going to get four issues of some and two of others. Well, the next Batman's one of the ones you're going to get four of. So we have a solicitation already for issue two of the next Batman. So again, you have the next Batman, the main story, written by John Ridley. The second issue has art by Laura Braga. But instead of Outsiders and Arkham Knights, what you have is you have a Batgirl's story by Vita Ayala with art by Aniki. And then you have Gotham City Sirens by somebody who I've never heard of, Paula Sevenbergen, with art by Emanuela Lupacchino, who obviously we know. So what does that mean? Gotham City Sirens, obviously we know that's Catwoman, that's Poison Ivy, and apparently a new siren. And then the Batgirl, it's called Batgirls because it's Cassandra Cain and Stephanie Brown, like we recently saw in the most recent issue of Batman. So Vita Ayala, very good writer, very talented. Absolutely love what she did on Livewire over at Valiant. I have a feeling that they can give, did I say she? I hope I didn't say she. It's they, Vita Ayala. They did a great job over at Valiant on Livewire. And I think they are the perfect creator to give us this future take on Cassandra Cain and Stephanie Brown. And in the solicit, a villain named Magistrate is mentioned. And we know that James Tynan has mentioned Magistrate as an upcoming villain in his Batman run. So again, tying in these possible futures with what is we're going to then see in March. Like, oh, hey, I read that in Future State that I saw him in the future when he was established. And then I don't know what we're going to get in Tynan's run. Maybe we're going to get the origin. Or we're going to see the beginnings of Magistrate when he's less powerful. So still curious what we know. We're going to have Detective. We know we're going to have Batman, but what are the other books? Are we going to have a Batgirl book? Are we going to have a Red Hood book? Are we going to have Robin? We haven't had a Robin book in, I can't remember last time we had a Robin book, but Nightwing, we know we're going to have Batman, Superman, but are we going to have Gotham City Sirens? Are we going to have a Batgirl? Like, are we going to have Batwoman? Are we going to have Arkham Knight? Like, we just don't know. So very curious to see, because we just don't know. Batman the Outsiders, we don't know. All right. Up next, the next solicit is Batman Superman number 1, written by Gene Luing Yang. Art and cover are by Ben Oliver. This is one of the ones we know. I'm not super excited about this. Again, we're hearing back in the early days of Magistrate's occupation of Gotham City, Bruce Wayne found himself pushed to the edge. So it's Professor Pig, it's Superman, it's Batman, it's Gene Luing Yang. It just sounds like it's just one of those stories where it's not really tied into much else. But the reason I mention it is because we know that we're getting a Batman Superman book from Gene Luing Yang in March. It's not Ben Oliver handling the art, though. Let me look it up real quick. So continuing from the Future State title, we're being told it's Gene Luing Yang, but apparently we don't know who the artist is going to be yet. Has not been announced, at least not from what I see here. The creative teams announced so far Detective Comics, Wonder Woman, Wonder Girl, Swamp Thing, Suicide Squad, Teen Titans Academy, Green Lantern, and Justice League Dark. We know Tynan and Jorge Jimenez will continue on Batman. So, I mean, it's not Ben Oliver. We know that because Ben Oliver doesn't stay on monthly books. He's not somebody who's fast enough. So wait and see. That's not one that really has me very excited, though, I got to be honest with you. Up next, we have Catwoman. I like this. It's written by Ram V, who's currently writing Catwoman, and I hope continues to write Catwoman. I hope that's a title that continues. And it's got Otto Schmidt on art, which has me really, really excited, plus some variant covers by Art Germ. So, yeah, absolutely nothing wrong with that. We haven't gotten confirmation that Catwoman's going to continue as a title with Ram V, but he just came on the title. And I think he's been doing a great job. Not that my opinion matters to DC editorial, but I hope that this is the case where, hey, he was doing a great job on the character. He's going to be writing the character, continue to write the character in Future State, and then after, continue to write it as well. Any thoughts on Batman, Superman, or Catwoman, Manny?
Yeah, very excited. Jean Luen Yang did New Superman, which I thought was actually really good.
Yep.
And then he was also a writer on one of my favorite books, which was The Terrifics.
Yep.
I love that book. I know that. So to see him be able to take on Batman Superman, I feel that it's in good hands. As for Catwoman, I'm not sure if Ram B is going to be able to take on two titles because he's always already going to be doing Swamp Thing for DC.
Well, he's going to be doing Swamp Thing. I mean, he's been doing two titles right now. He's been doing Catwoman and Justice League Dark.
Yes. So.
So we know he's going to do a new Swamp Thing that got announced. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I think Justice League Dark's coming back. I think that got announced. He's
doing Justice League Dark.
Catwoman would be his third title.
Well, that is if they keep him on Justice League Dark. I don't know if they're going to start taking Justice League Dark and pulling it a little bit towards whatever they're going to be doing over at HBO Max. So that would be interesting.
Yeah, but I think, like I said, I thought that that got... Yeah, Justice League Dark will return in March, written by Ram V.
Oh, okay.
Who was writing the series before the December Endless Winter crossover. Yeah, and the returning series will be drawn by Zeremanenko, who drew Justice League Death Metal, the Death Metal issues of Justice League. So, yeah. But, I mean, three titles from a writer a month is not unheard of.
I mean,
if you're Charles Soule or Tom Taylor, you do, like, twice that many. So, I guess we'll see. And last thought about Jean Luen Yang. He's written Superman before, too. He did he finished up Superman. Had a little run there right before Rebirth. So it's not like this is his first take. And he recently did Superman Smashes the Klan, which did gangbusters for their young reader line. So I think, Gene's a great writer, great choice for Batman Superman. I don't think he's written Batman before, so that'll be interesting to see his take. All right, up next we have The Dark Detective. And this is written by Mariko Tamaki. We have art by Dan Mora. There's also a Grifter story by Matthew Rosenberg, who this isn't his first DC work. He's done a little bit of DC work before. Carmine DiGiannomenico is doing the art for the Grifter series. You may remember that name from his work on Flash. He relaunched Flash during Rebirth with Joshua Williams. I'm not a big fan of his art style. It works okay for the Flash because the Flash is so kinetic and a lot of movement, but I don't know, Grifter, I want a cleaner style. I mean, when you talk Grifter, I think like Jim Lee or the recent Wildstorm series from Warren Ellis that John Davis Hunt, who also has a very clean style, Grifter in there, like super clean. So I don't know, reserve judgment on that. But we'll have to wait and see. And this is another one of those titles where we're getting two issues. So the second issue that comes out in January, Dark Detective. So again, Batman story. Again, written by Mariko Tamaki with art by Dan Mora. And this is going to make a lot of sense in a second here. In the second issue, there's instead of Grifter, it's Red Hood by the aforementioned Joshua Williamson. And the art is by Giannis Milo. Okay, I'm going to butcher this. Giannis Milano Giannis. Like his first name is literally, or her, it could be her. I'm pretty sure this is Greek, but the first name is Giannis. And then the last name is Milono Giannis. So the first name is seven letters long, and those exact same seven letters finish the last name, which is really weird. I've never seen that before. It would be like if Manny's name was Manny Gomez Manny. Anyway, not familiar with their work, so very curious. Will Joshua Williamson be writing a Red Hood story coming out of this? I mean, we just got a new issue 51 that I didn't even know about from Sean Martinborough. So I think Sean's probably going to be on that. I mean, and he's not just getting two issues, is he? I don't know. So I guess we'll wait and see. But the reason I mentioned the dark detective story, Mariko Tamaki, Dan Mora, same writer, same artist. That's the first time we've seen that same artist, you know, seen the writer, but with the next Batman, first issue was Nick Darrington on art, second issue was Laura Braga. But here we have Dan Mora. Well, that creative team, that exact creative team, Mariko Tamaki and Dan Mora are going to be writing Detective when Detective Comics comes back in March. So Manny, I know you have thoughts about this. Let's hear it.
So with Mariko Tamaki, I thought she did a good job with that Harley Quinn novel that she did, the graphic novel for teenagers. What is it called? Harley Quinn, Breaking Glass. I have it right there behind me. But so when she got on Wonder Woman, and it was Tamaki, and it was artwork by
Mikhail Yanin.
Yeah, by Yanin. It was like it was the thought that it was going to be really good, and then obviously it didn't work out, and the story was very inconsistent, and there was a lot of issues that almost didn't need to be there. It almost seemed like fillers, and I felt like the villain was never really defined. And even when you tried to make Maxwell Lord kind of guess that maybe he's going to be on his best behavior, you never really felt that way. And just overall, just a very uninteresting story that they did with Wonder Woman, which was a real shame because it seemed like it was going to be kind of a turning point for that book. And so now I'm kind of worried as to which way she's going to take Detective, because we've seen Detective recently kind of going back to what we like to see. And so it'll be interesting to see what she wants to do with it and what characters are going to be more prominently featured other than Batman. So I hope it's good, but I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, I mean, we're not trying to throw anybody under the bus. We say it all the time. Nobody sets out to make a bad comic.
No, that's true. But there's certain creators that are better for certain types of titles.
Oh yeah,
and I'm just not sure if this is the right fit for a detective. Like so, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. In a way, it annoys me that she's off of Wonder Woman already because, you know, here I was on the podcast after the first issue. It was my book of the week, and I was praising it, saying we're about to get this golden age of Wonder Woman that's going to define the character for the modern times for the first time since maybe George Perez after Crisis. The first issue was so perfect in tone, and the art was great. And then, like Manny said, it just sputtered completely. And I've read things from Mariko that were just spectacular. You know, her run on She-Hulk, finishing out that series at Marvel, I think it was in 2018, was great. But then, yeah, her recent Wonder Woman work was just so up and down. And now you're talking about putting her on the flagship character of the DCU. As much as I love Superman, he's my favorite character. Got to admit that Batman's the one that pays the bills these days. So it seems a little bit of a curious choice to me. Especially because I think Peter J. Tomasi has been doing a great job. But when you look at it objectively, Tomasi's work on Detective was at its best when he first came on Detective. That first story, Arkham Knight with Brad Walker. And why was that story so good? Because nothing else in the entire DCU that was going on mattered.
Right.
That story, that Arkham Knight story, could be set in any era of Batman, anytime, and it just works. And I feel like the reason that Tomasi's run hasn't been as good since then, and it's been a little up and down, is because he's had to bring in other elements. You can't have Joker War going on in the Batman title and not have it affect Detective. And so other, you know, you're the villains and that kind of thing. And so I feel like interfering with Tomasi and what him and Brad Walker and the other artists would have done on the title would have been better. And, you know, they could have just told those timeless Batman tales that could fit in any era, where you don't have to know, have any other knowledge of what's going on in the DCU. But I get it. It's Detective Comics. You want it to be tied in with other things that are going on. Great. Except you're just talking about how, as a company, as a shared universe, you're going to go and focus less on continuity and you just want good stories. Well, that's exactly in Tomasi's wheelhouse. So I was excited to see that sort of hands-off approach to steering Tomasi's book and steering Tomasi's work on Detective. I felt like, okay, we're going to get back to the very best of what Tomasi does and has done on Detective by going back to the feel of that first Arkham Knight story. And then now come to find out we're going to have Mariko Tamaki on the book instead. I will say that maybe if Detective is going to keep being interfered with, for lack of a better way to put it, maybe it's better to have Tamaki on there. Maybe it was Tomasi's choice to leave. I don't know. Maybe Tomasi's going to be the one to write Superman. I don't know. But maybe that's the reason. I mean, again, it's all speculation at this point. What we do know is this is going to be the first regular Batman title, either Batman or Detective Comics, that's going to be written by a female. I don't know if you knew that, Manny, but other than, I think, the Batman Gotham Knights title, which obviously isn't one of the main two, that was written by Devin Grayson, I think back in the late 90s or early 2000s, there haven't been a lot of female writers on Batman. You know, a fill-in story here or there, but for the most part, especially not on the main titles, have we had a female writer on Batman. So I'm excited for Mariko for that reason. Will she live up to it? I don't know. Will people bash her because she's a female and doesn't understand Batman? Whether the stories are good or not, probably you're going to have that segment of people, oh, she's ruining Batman. You may also have another segment of people that, no matter how bad it is, if it is bad, that say, oh, it's good, just because, you know, they want to have a female writer on it. And then you'll have the majority of us, we're going to just go based on the quality of the work. If it's good, we're going to say it's good. And if it's not, then, you know, it's not. But having Dan Mora on there, I'm excited about that. I love his art. I know it's pretty special, I think, his art. It's a very clean style. And if you're curious, if you want to get maybe a sneak peek or what the tone might be, Tamaki and Dan Mora, they did do a story in the Detective Comics 1027 called The Gift. And so probably it's going to be similar in tone and style to what that story was like. So yeah, we have a female Batman writer for the first time in history. It's pretty interesting. Up next after that, we have The Flash, written by Brandon Vietti, art by Dale Eaglesham. I don't know who Brandon Vietti is. I think he might be from the world of TV. I'm not 100% sure. Not much to say about this. I don't know who the writer of Flash is going to be. We haven't been told. I'm pretty excited about what Kevin Chenick did in his arc of The Flash leading up to the Endless Winter storyline. I'd like to see him continue. I think he deserves it based on the quality of his work on that last story arc after Joshua Williamson left. But I don't know. Maybe we're going to see Brandon Vietti continue. What I do know is we probably won't get Dale Eaglesham on art, because we know he can't keep to a monthly schedule. But I am excited for Future State Flash number one to see Dale Eaglesham, whose art's really great, do a Flash book. So any thoughts on Flash, Manny? Do you have any writer in mind that you would like to see? I mean, you never talk about the Flash too much. I don't think he's a character you really follow. You're muted.
Not really, unless I start from the beginning. It's really hard for me to get involved with Flash. So I haven't really been on Flash since Rebirth. and, you know, those couple of first storylines. Brandon Vietti is from the land of Warner Brother Animation. He's the current producer for Young Justice. He did Outsiders, and now he's doing Phantoms. Phantoms, is that what it is?
Have you ever interviewed him for any animation stuff?
Yeah, I've talked to him for Young Justice, actually, over at Comic-Con.
Hit him up. Find out if he's on Flash. Not that he could tell us.
Yeah, but it's funny. It's weird because he's still working. He's still doing those because he's on. He does some of the other works on a couple of the other movies as well, but I'm not sure if he. Maybe he just wants to cross over into the land of comics, or I might have to do that just because. I wonder what his take would be on Flash, especially because I'm used to seeing him deal with younger heroes.
Yeah, I mean, there are several Future State Flash titles. This is the one. The solicitation says, with no powers, no backup, and no other choice, Barry Allen and the other former Flashes face the deadliest threat they've ever encountered, Wally West. Possessed by an evil force trapped for thousands of years inside the Speed Force, Barry turns to his greatest foe's weapons to save the young man he loves like a son. In the end, how much will Barry sacrifice to save the former Kid Flash? So it sounds like it's the other Flashes. And when you look at the cover of Future State, we see Max Mercury, we see the Jay Garrick Flash, we see Barry Allen Flash, and they're all kind of knocked out, and they've been knocked out by Wally West. Wally's like holding Barry by his cowl, and he's got his hand up, and it's like sparking lightning. So Wally West, the bad guy, the other Flash is going to try to take him out. So yeah, I see Kevin Shinnick comes from the world of television as well. And we know DC, AT&T, Warner Brothers, whoever it is trying to bring in, you know, new voices and new writers, and maybe they're trying to pull from other mediums that they see as successful, like animation and television movies, to come in and be these voices. So maybe that's what they're trying to do with Kevin Shinnick, but Brandon Vietti from that same world, you know, like if this was Joshua Williamson writing Future State the Flash, then I would say, well, they'd be much more likely to go back to Kevin Shinnick. That seems to be their MO of what they want to do, bring in these television writers. But Future State's being written by a television person, and Kevin Shinnick, who just finished up an arc on the Flash, is a television person. So I feel like it's a toss-up. It could be either one. I'll pick Shinnick just because I haven't seen anything Vietti has done comic-wise, and I really liked what Kevin did. So up next is another perfect example of exactly what I'm talking about. This creative team that is doing Future State Green Lantern is going to do the new Green Lantern book that is starting in March. But we still have two more issues that of the Grant Morrison, Liam Sharp, the Green Lantern series to finish up. So not sure how that's going to play out. I think probably what Grant and Liam are doing is going to totally ignore anything that this new Green Lantern series is going to start with. You could kind of just think, hey, even though they overlap for 2 months, don't think of it like that. And we have no idea who, at least as far as I know, we have no idea who's going to be in the new Green Lantern books as far as, okay, who are the new, we have so many different Green Lanterns to choose from. So who are the Green Lanterns that are going to actually be in the book? So let me just go through the solicitation first. It's written by Jeffrey Thorne. The art is by Tom Rainey. And then we have a second story, The Book of Guy. Obviously, that stars Guy Gardner, written by Ernie Altbacher with art by Clayton Henry. And then we have The Taking of Sector 123, written by friend of the show Ryan Caddy, with art by Sammy Bosri, who's a great artist as well. The solicitation says, assigned to the map and contact new life forms past the 3,600 known sector of space protected by the Green Lantern Corps, John Stewart and an elite team of Lanterns are trapped behind enemy lines and fighting for their lives when the central power battery goes dark and it leaves the entire Corps defenseless. Meanwhile, across the cosmos, Jessica Cruz finds herself powerless and trapped and forced to battle the invading Yellow Lanterns of the Sinestro Corps. And we've got Guy Gardner wanting to reopen the Warriors bar. If anybody's familiar with Guy Gardner Warrior, when that title was coming out. So it sounds like The Book of Guy by Ernie Altbacher is going to be more of a humorous story. The Ryan Caddy written story, probably the one about Jessica Cruz, and then John Stewart and his elite team of Lanterns being stuck behind enemy lines. Again, in the future, we see Nort there. We see John Stewart with, and Kilowog as well, I should mention, and then John Stewart with some dreads. No mention of Hal Jordan, no mention of Simon Boz. So when Jeffrey Thorne and Tom Rainey, who have already been announced as the creative team for the new Green Lantern title that starts in March, but what we don't know is who is going to be in it other than John Stewart. John Stewart, we know, is going to be the focus of that, but that's, I don't know. Is that an AT&T choice? I mean, for a lot of people, John Stewart is the Green Lantern because of the Justice League cartoon. Hal Jordan was always my Green Lantern. Obviously, some people are partial to Guy Gardner. I love Jessica Cruz. I love Simon Baz. I really think a book that has everybody is ideal, but team books don't always resonate with fans. Jeffrey Thorne is another writer who I think comes from the world of TV. I'm not 100% on that. Tom Rainey, longtime artist, comic artist. So any thoughts on Green Lantern, Manny? Prefer John Stewart?
My Green Lantern, I agree with you, is always going to be Hal Jordan. My favorite Green Lantern is Jessica Cruz. But as far as, you know, who I'd want leading a Green Lantern book, it's going to be Hal Jordan. Unless you're going to have him do kind of his own title like they did at the end of New 52. And even actually they also did it in Rebirth, right? Get his own book. Am I wrong?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was called Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah.
So they had Green Lanterns with Simon Baz and Jessica Cruz.
I wouldn't mind if they did the same thing here, but the Green Lantern book, you know, the storylines, kind of like you can do in Detective, don't necessarily have to focus on the same Green Lantern. Like, you know, give some of the other Lanterns a shot. Let's see a story about Mongo, you know?
Yeah, and maybe the reason they're decided to focus on John Stewart out of the gate is because, like I said, there's still two more months to go of the Green Lantern, where, you know, Grant Morrison and Liam have really been focusing on Hal Jordan and that book. So maybe something, you know, maybe we get another Green Lantern title down the line, or maybe you can always switch off arcs, you know, do an arc with Hal Jordan, and then do an arc focusing on Hal.
Do an arc with Kilowog for a change.
yeah. I mean, there's tons of Green Lanterns.
What's the one that looks like a chicken? Do him.
Yeah, Tomar Ree.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. The one that Grant and Liam created that has a volcano for a head.
Or use the one that's really popular and OP'd on DC Legends. The chimp looking one. What's his name?
Oh my god, I'm totally drawn.
You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Yeah. Chimuck.
Chimuck, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, or Nort, for that matter. Like I said, Nort showing up here in the cover. So, all right, moving on. Harley Quinn is up next, written by Stephanie Phillip. Well, I'm sorry. Let me correct myself. Harley Quinn is up next, written by Dr. Stephanie Phillips. Art by Simone DeMayo. We know that Stephanie Phillips, friend of the show, incredibly talented writer, she's going to be continuing on Harley Quinn, and I'm over the moon. I'm so excited for Stephanie. She's such a fresh voice. She has a lot of great ideas. I've loved just about everything she's ever done. I think I've read just about everything she's ever done, whether it be at Aftershock or Top Cow or what have you. That being said, I'm not going to read this book because as much as I love Stephanie, I'm not a fan of Harley Quinn, and I'm really not a fan of the art style of the artist who's going to be relaunching Harley Quinn with her, and that's Riley Rossmo. His art style, his aesthetic just isn't for me. I did read the Martian Manhunter miniseries or maxi series he did with Steve Orlando, 12 issues. I thought it eventually kind of I warmed up to his art style in that book, being that Martian Manhunter is a shape changer and his fluidity of art kind of worked, and aliens and such. And so I can see why they chose him for Harley, but it just, to me, the Harley book needs to be very bright. And I don't think that bright colors, I think that would really clash with Rossmo's art style. Beyond looking a little cartoony, it doesn't suit, because it's still kind of textured and gritty. It's a very interesting art style. And again, I'm not a big Harley fan anyway, so I'm not on board for this at all. But let's say it was, I don't know, Will Conrad, or trying to think of somebody else's art that I really, who did the art on Freedom Fighters? Do you remember? Eddie Barrows.
Eddie Barrows, good.
Yeah. I mean, I would be much more likely to pick up Harley Quinn, at least an odd issue here or there, if it was Eddie Barrows doing the art, because it's Stephanie Phillips working on it. But I wouldn't be a regular reader anyway. So they're not losing a reader by having Riley on it. But I probably would pick up an issue or two just because it's Stephanie and I want to support her work, if it was somebody other than Riley. But again, she is, you know, the fourth pillar of the DC universe, and to have a new voice on her, like Stephanie, whose star has really been on the rise, her profile and work has really been being noticed by people over the last couple of years. Her profile is, getting out there, and people are hearing about her work. So I'm so, so excited for her, super happy for her. But yeah, I'm not going to be picking up Harley. You're much more of a Harley fan than I am. I am curious if Stephanie's going to go the zany route. I've never seen her draw anything zany. Her stuff's pretty serious. You don't have the distaste for Riley Rossmo's art style that I do. So what are your thoughts? Are you going to give this new Harley series a try?
No. No, the last run for Harley Quinn, I was really on board because of the creative teams.
Gotcha.
And then obviously I had been a fan of it even before then because of the creative teams of Jimmy and Amanda. So I have to agree with you. And I feel bad because, I mean, it sounds like we're not saying it's bad art. We're just saying in this case, we have very similar tastes as far as to what we want to see in our comic book. And I really feel, I actually, Martian Manhunter, I couldn't get into it. Partially was because of the artwork. And so thinking about that now with the Harley Quinn story, as kind of kooky and zany as it is sometimes, not for me. I'm sorry, but they're going to have to do something a little bit different for me too if they want me back on Harley Quinn.
Yeah, you did read that Vertigo book and like it, though, that Riley did. The one about the old guy in the swamp and the other young guy came and interviewed him. I can't remember what it was. It's about, like, dreams or something.
What? Was it a Sandman Universe one?
No, it was before that. It was before Sandman Universe. But it was Riley Rossmo art. I remember that. But I can't remember what the title was. And I don't even think you finished reading. You talked about the first issue and then maybe the second issue, and then we didn't talk about it after that. But I never read it. So anyway. Does it sound familiar to you at all?
A little bit, but I can't even.
All right. I'll look it up here in a little bit. But yeah, the Future State Harley book ties in with current Batman stuff. Like, Harley's been a big player in the Batman titles lately, like we said. But the solicitation also mentions the magistrate. In a bold move that rocks Gotham City, the magistrate has imprisoned Harley Quinn. The villain, once known as a Scarecrow, now a pawn of magistrate, taps into Harley's knowledge of Gotham's villains and the Black Mask Gang for his own purpose. So, yeah, tying it into current Batman stuff. So, all right, there's several Wonder Woman books. The first one that we'll mention here is Future State Immortal Wonder Woman, and it's written by Michael W. Conrad and Becky Cloonan. Art is by Jen Bartel, which I think is going to be amazing. Then there's also a Nubia story written by L.L. McKinney. Art is by Aletha Martinez and Mark Morales. We know we're not going to get Jen Bartel on a regular monthly Wonder Woman book. But just like a lot of the other ones, we already know that we're getting Will Conrad and Becky Cloonan writing a new Wonder Woman book. So we mentioned before, Tamaki is moving off of Wonder Woman after a very short run. Maybe we weren't the only ones that it wasn't clicking for. Maybe the sales weren't there either. So Cloonan and Conrad were very active on social media over the weekend talking about this, talking about how bizarre and weird their story is going to be for Wonder Woman. And we know that the art is going to be by Travis Moore, who a lot of people may know from his Nightwing work. So that's going to be really cool. And what are we going to have? Is it going to feel like another new launch of Wonder Woman when we just kind of got a reset with the Tamaki run? Don't know. Are we going to see much of Nubia? Are we going to see much of Yara Flor, the other Wonder Woman? We know there's a Wonder Girl series by Joelle Jones that's going to have Nubia and Yara Flor. So what about Donna Troy? What about Cassie Sandsmark? Again, there's just so much that we don't know. Wonder Woman has such a varied history, and all these characters of supporting cast, like Cassie Sandsmark, like Donna Troy, and now Nubia and Yara Flor, who it feels like DC wants to kind of put out there as you know, more diverse members of Wonder Woman. We have the Amazons, we have Hippolyta, we have Cheetah, we have Steve Trevor, we have Etta Candy, but it never seems to come together. Wonder, you know, just like Superman, where you can, he's got all these different characters, different employees of the Daily Planet and coworkers and, you know, Bibbo and Professor Hamilton and whatever. And his title, although it's called Superman or Action Comics and is focused on him, it can sometimes feel like this ensemble title with all these other storylines going on from all these supporting characters. Wonder Woman, to me, has never felt like that. It always feels like a singular title and the other characters are all minor characters. So I'm kind of hoping that this is what I was hoping for from the Tamaki run. A real era, a real kind of run on Wonder Woman that's kind of defining and gives us a good feel with a creative team that stays on the book for a long time and really can establish some momentum for Wonder Woman. So what will happen? I guess we'll see. I love the fact that it's Travis Moore. I hope that he's on the book longer than Mikhail Yanin was, because that's really when the wheels came off or started to come off for me. I'll definitely check it out. What are your thoughts, Manny?
You know, I'll check it out. Obviously, if we're restarting, especially because kind of like I feel with Captain America, it's like I always really just want a really good Wonder Woman book. But like, I agree with a lot of the things you say. Some, you know, it's Wonder Woman and then everybody else, nothing really sticks. So I'll give it a shot. Let's see what happens. I found that book you were talking about. It was Deathbed.
There you go.
And that book was really fit his style of art, though, with all the kind of the weird and wacky things that were going on there. So I fell off of that book pretty quick, though. It was back when Joshua Williamson was doing everything. So
it's a Williamson written book.
Yeah, it was by Joshua Williamson. So I am interested in seeing that the new younger Brazilian Wonder Woman, just Wonder Girl, Wonder Woman, just because of the fact of how much hype it's having going forward with Joelle Jones, as well as the fact that it's being developed into a CW series with a couple of other younger characters. I know that, I'm not sure if we're going to talk about it, but Bendis' Naomi is also headed over to the CW for development. And then there's a spinoff from Black Lightning with Painkiller. So a lot of younger faces are going to looking to make their splash into the TV world that maybe you hadn't heard of before.
Yeah, I did see that. All of a sudden, the Naomi books started selling on eBay again after a kind of a little bit of downturn there. So yeah, I did. I definitely did see that. All right, up next, Future State Justice League number one, written by Joshua Williamson, art by Robson Rocha. We have a second story, Justice League Dark, written by Ram V, art by Marcio Takara. So like we previously stated, Justice League Dark will be continuing. Ram V is going to continue on the title. He's been writing it for a long time now, ever since James Tynan left. I think it was his first regular monthly gig at DC, actually, and then he ended up taking over Catwoman as well. Will Joshua Williamson be on Justice League? That is the question. He did write the five issues of Justice League, where it was Justice League Death Metal. That tie-in, not any of the normal Justice League characters. So who are we going to see come March? Not sure. We do know that this Future State Justice League has Jonathan Kent as Superman, Yara Flores Wonder Woman, Joe Mullen as Green Lantern. She's the Green Lantern from Far Sector. Andy Curry as Aquawoman. That's the baby that Mira and Aquaman had just recently, a few months ago, in the Aquaman title by Kelly Sue DeConnick. And a new Flash from the multiverse, who's actually a non-binary character, and redacted as Batman, because again, it's that new Batman that we don't know his identity, although it's rumored to be either Luke or Tim Fox, one of Lucius Fox's sons. So what are we going to get? No clue. No clue what we're going to get for this Justice League Future State story, other than we know it's got new versions of these classic heroes that we're used to. But what comes in March, we still don't know. If it's Joshua Williamson, I would not necessarily have a problem with that. I like Josh's work for the most part, but I don't know if his style of storytelling would really suit a team book. And I know a lot of people had trouble with his Flash run. They felt like things moved along too slow. So I guess we'll see. Ram V on Justice League Dark, I have no problem with. I think he did an incredible job taking over from Tynan. And we're seeing a lot of the same characters. Again, magic characters. So even though this is way in the future, you can still have the same characters. The Future State Justice League Dark story is going to have Zatanna, Detective Chimp, who's now possessed by Etrigan, the demon. So that's going to be weird to see a demon form of Detective Chimp. And we've got Constantine, Ragman, Madame Xanadu, so all the usual suspects, as it were. And I think, just looking real quickly here, because I was trying to remember if they announced. Oh yeah, they did. I think I said it right. The artist on Justice League Dark with Ram V, come March, is going to be Zermanico, who was the one who did those Death Metal Justice League issues with Joshua Williamson. Here's another one that we don't know if it's going to continue, and I kind of think it won't, because I don't think the numbers on Supergirl were very good for the most recent runs. But there is a Future State Kara Zor-El Superwoman number one. I do like her new costume. It's much more grown up, calling her Superwoman rather than Supergirl. It's by the two Marguerites, Marguerite Bennett, who, friend of the show, really talented writer, has done a lot of great things. I know Manny's a big fan of Animosity. The art is by Marguerite Sauvage. And there's a great variant cover by Alex Garner. So this is one of the titles that has me most intrigued about Future State. So Supergirl, Kara, Superwoman now, has kind of decided, hey, I'm never really going to be able to find my place on Earth, because I'm always going to be in the shadow of my cousin, more famous cousin, Superman. So she actually decides to go to the moon, and she establishes a colony there where people who don't feel safe on Earth, either aliens who've run away from their home planet or have sought refuge because their home planet has been destroyed, or other people who just for whatever reason don't quite fit into Earth, can go live on her colony on the moon and kind of find a place where everybody's accepted. So it's like the most Supergirl of stories, right? The most Kara Zor-El of stories, because she's so compassionate. She cares about everybody. So really excited for that. I don't know if Marguerite Bennett will continue to write some kind of a Superwoman or Supergirl story after this is over. Again, I kind of doubt it because the story wasn't, it wasn't selling, Supergirl wasn't selling that well. But who knows? We know Marguerite Bennett's going to be writing a new Witchblade title over at Top Cow. But again, you're a writer, you can handle, you know, two or three books at a time. I wonder if working on this 5G Wonder or 5G Superwoman title that she must have pitched was why she put Animosity on hiatus. Don't know. Don't know if her pitch is strong enough. Maybe they're going to give her some issues of Supergirl after. Maybe not. I don't know. I would doubt it would be Marguerite Sauvage. Again, she's not an artist that you would really see on a monthly title. She does more cover work and things like that. So, don't know. Would you read a Supergirl or Superwoman book by Marguerite Bennett?
Hell yes, I would. I think that that's a good combination, and I agree. You know, it'd be nice to keep that creative team, but I love the way she's handled everything over at for Animosity, and you know, it's a book that I've consistently stuck on, and every time, even when they do different story arcs, that you kind of think that maybe the book's gonna fall off, it just keeps going. And so I am interested in the whole kind of ascending Supergirl name to Superwoman, which I think is great. I've always wondered why it was the case that it was Supergirl. Maybe, I mean, just because it's Superman's younger, quote-unquote, cousin, even though she ended up getting there. But anywho.
Yeah, even though she's technically older and was born.
She's older. So... I would love to see what that would bring, especially because I think Supergirl is a great character.
Yeah, and I actually would just like to see Kevin Maguire continue. I loved the work he did on Supergirl when Mark Andreyko was writing it. I thought he was a perfect artist. We got plenty of Crypto. Yeah, I thought it was great. All right, moving on, we have Future State Legion of Superheroes number 1, written by Brian Michael Bendis, art and cover by Riley Rossmo. I'm a big Legion fan. I haven't been the biggest fan of what Bendis has been doing. I'm assuming that Legion of Superheroes is going to continue with Bendis and Ryan Sook and the other artists in March, but I don't know for sure. We know it won't be Riley Rossmo on art, which is good, but who knows? It's another one of those we just don't know. And what's interesting, doing a Future State Legion of Superheroes book, so Legion of Superheroes is already in the future. So, because these Future State books are in the future, this is going to be one of those books where it's even further in the future. And the solicit even says, whatever happened to the Legion of Superheroes? The team is no more. The United Planets is in total chaos. So, who knows? Find out the fate of your favorite Legionnaires like Shadow Lass, Triplicate Girl, Brainiac 5, Bouncing Boy, plus a shocking twist to the Legion mythology. As much as I don't like Riley Rossmo, I'm going to have to pick this up because, and I haven't been a fan of Bendis lately either, but this solicit has me interested. So I'm going to check that out. Up next, we have Nightwing, written by Andrew Constant, art by Nicola Scott. Hell yeah, Nicola Scott on Nightwing. I am in 100%. Batman is gone. Nightwing is taken on the mission of keeping the citizens of Gotham safe from the Magistrate. But to do that, he'll have to stay one step ahead of the Magistrate. So, man, a lot of these Batman titles for Future State, it's all about the Magistrate. Manny, if the Magistrate is some future version of the Joker, I'm going to break something. I'm going to go out and buy – you know what? Actually, I have a statue. I have a Killing Joke Joker statue that I won at Comic-Con one year. It's still in the box. I may just take a bat to it if it – I'm jokered out. But anyway, I digress. Will Andrew Constant stay on Nightwing? Will Nicola Scott stay on Nightwing? I would love it. I'm a fan of Andrew. I'm a huge fan of Nicola. Nicola, I don't know that she wants to do month in, month out books anymore. I know she killed herself doing Wonder Woman during Rebirth. She has her own title, Black Magic, with over at Image with Greg Rucka. So maybe she just wanted, I know she's a big fan of Nightwing. Her illustration of Nightwing's butt has like become a thing on the internet. People love the way that she draws butts. So maybe this was just on her bucket list. Hey, let me draw a little Nightwing. Maybe she'll do an arc or two. Again, this is another one that we don't know, but I'm definitely excited for these two issues of Nightwing Future State just to see Nick get to draw Nightwing. So any thoughts on Legion of Heroes or Future State Nightwing?
I've never been a Legion of Heroes guy. And then Nightwing, I've had some good Nightwing runs that I can appreciate. So I'm always on board for a new Nightwing book. I don't know. I think sometimes he's a little more interesting than Batman, which is, I know, even he's my favorite character, but I don't know. Dick Grayson just has so many more layers, and he gets along with Damian so much better than even Bruce does, and you know what he does in Boonhaven, and when he was a spy, and just so much more. I feel like with Dick Grayson that I enjoy. So yeah, I'm definitely on board for it.
Now you weren't reading the recent Dan Jurgens run, were you?
Not the recent one, no.
Yeah, so that I'm kind of wondering. But I see Dan Jurgens' name is nowhere on any of these solicits. He's got to be writing something, I would think. I know that he's always talked about wanting to do a proper Green Lantern or proper Flash run. He's only ever written them as guest stars in other books or part of team books. So curious about that. But I like the idea of Andrew Scott or Andrew Constant and Nicholas Scott on Nightwing. But maybe Jurgens is going to come back. Yeah, I don't know. I do think there will be a Nightwing title come March. I just think the character's too popular not to have his own book. So I guess that's one we'll have to wait and see. Speaking of Robin, I mentioned earlier, hasn't been a Robin title in a long time. We have Future State Robin Eternal, written by Megan Fitzmartin. Again, no clue. I think it's somebody from novels, actually. A prose writer. I think I read that somewhere. Art by Eddie Barrows. I'm definitely in for that. I love Eddie Barrows' art. It's Tim Drake, who was the last Robin, I do believe the last Robin to have a solo title. Damian was obviously the Robin that followed Tim Drake, but he was Batman and Robin was the title that Grant Morrison wrote. And then I think Eric Burnham or not Eric Burnham, Chris Burnham did the art on that. And I know there was a Rebirth Batman and Robin title that Patrick Gleason was involved in. I want to say Tomasi wrote that, but I'm not 100% if I'm right on that. But anyway, this is Tim Drake. And again, because it's the Gotham corner of the Future State here, we're talking about the Magistrate. Lazarus Resin is on its way to Gotham City, and the Magistrate intends to use this regenerative super drug to make its forces immortal. So I'm assuming Lazarus Resin is Lazarus Pits, where it's hardened into some kind of like amber type substance, and Tim Drake is trying to stop it. So I'm a fan of Tim Drake. He's probably my favorite Robin. The first Robin I was introduced to was Dick Grayson, but I think he works better on his own as Nightwing. I like, you know, I think about him the same way Manny does. He's kind of his own man. He's out of the shadow of Bruce Wayne, and he's almost like Batman if Batman's parents, if he handled the death of his parents in a healthier way, let's put it that way. He doesn't have that hard edge. He's not a for being Dick Grayson, he's not a dick the way Batman can be. So I like him there. I like him on his own. Jason Todd, nobody ever liked him as Robin, let's be honest. So Tim Drake was my Robin, and I don't like Damian and never have. So Tim Drake's my Robin. I'd love for there to be a Tim Drake Robin book. After this come March, but I don't think that'll happen because I think Damian is Robin, although he's not using the name and even ripped the R off his chest recently. So who knows what could happen, but Tim Drake needs to be somewhere. I really do think he deserves his own monthly title, but maybe he can't support it anymore. I don't know. What do you have any thoughts on wanting to see a Robin book or a Tim Drake book? I think he actually had, right before New 52, there was a Red Robin title when he was going by that name that starred Tim Drake.
I don't know. I haven't seen too much of him, though. I think the last time I really remember focusing on a Tim Drake was in the new Teen Titans way back when. So I'll check it out.
All right.
I don't have much more thoughts on that Robin. I'm much more of a fan of not Tim Drake, of Red Hood.
Jason Todd. Yeah, which is, that's fine, but Jason Todd is not going to star in a Robin book. Jason Todd, fine. Jason Todd is Red Hood, and always should have been Red Hood. Jason Todd never should have been a Robin. Jason Todd works as Red Hood.
And you're going to, your unpopular opinion on this podcast, I'd be more interested in Damian book. And you're like, no, absolutely not.
So well, actually, I will say this. I don't dislike Damian as much as I used to.
I just think that Damien's adventures would be a little bit better because you can count on him being a hothead enough to get into trouble. And then he can have a little bit more international appeal as far as like Deathstroke or the League of Assassins or things like that, because of the fact that, you know, he has ties with his mom and things like that. So
yeah. And I totally get that. And to me, Damien's problem when he first showed up was he was kind of a spoiled brat. And he has evolved as a character, and now he's not so much a spoiled brat. He's kind of, you know, been exposed to enough other people and life experiences that have kind of opened his eyes. And now, instead of being a spoiled brat, he's just kind of a jerk. So if that's evolution, going from being a spoiled brat to having a broader worldview, but still being kind of a dick and saying, you know, he's always picking on Tim Drake, and I get it. It's playful or whatever, but he's still not really a likable character in my mind. So he's just not somebody I want to read about. Whereas Tim's like the total opposite. He's like, and I know this is the problem that some people have with Tim, is that he's too goody goody. He's too good to be true. But I'd rather read about somebody who's likable than somebody who's not likable. So yeah, just a difference of opinion. Not a big deal.
Let's go check it out.
I would, but again, I would read a Tim Drake Robin book. I would not read a Damian Wayne Robin book. So I know I'm probably in the minority there, though. Up next, we have Shazam. I don't expect there to be a Shazam book coming out of Future State in March. I think Shazam sold pretty well. The problem with that book, as everybody knows, it was Geoff Johns and Dale Eaglesham plagued by delay after delay after delay. We only ended up getting 13 issues over like 3 years. So I think the reason that it did sell at all was the Geoff Johns name and the kind of the cachet that carries. So I don't expect there to be a Shazam book. I wouldn't be surprised to see some sort of Black Adam miniseries when that movie drops with The Rock. And then when the sequel comes out, whenever that is, 2029 or whatever, at this rate, maybe there'll be a Shazam. It'll be time to bring Shazam back. I'm not sure. I do know that the Future State Shazam is written by Tim Sheridan, art by Eduardo Panseca. And no one has seen Billy Batson in years, not since incident known as the Final Battle of Titans Island. So what's the truth behind Shazam's disappearance? So curious. I think Tim Sheridan is from the world of TV as well. Eduardo Panseca is a good artist. So I'm curious about this, and I'm going to read it, but I don't expect there to be a Shazam title coming out of Future State. Up next, we have Suicide Squad. It's written by Robbie Thompson. Art is by Javi Fernandez. There is a Black Adam story here in the Suicide Squad book rather than in the Shazam book. That's written by Jeremy Adams. Art is by Fernando Passerin. Suicide Squad enters a future state era as Amanda Waller uses Task Force X to save the world and remake it in her image. But what happens when the team shows up to stop her? And then the second story in the issue, Black Adam, the immortal one-time champion of the Wizard Shazam, rules the planet Kandak, so not the country, but the planet, in the 853rd century. Can he save the future from a threat rooted in the past? So kind of curious why this is the title that the Black Adam story is in and not the other, but I don't know. It kind of is what it is. So this sounds okay. The art looks really great. I'm definitely on board, and we know that we're getting a new Suicide Squad title that was already announced. And I'm, you know, with this James Gunn Suicide Squad movie coming out, and then we've got the HBO Max spinoff series with John Cena playing Peacemaker, who is the same, you know, same character he's playing in the Suicide Squad movie. They already announced that Robbie Thompson is going to be writing the Suicide Squad ongoing series in March with the same artist he's got here, Eduardo Panseca. So I'm not the biggest fan of Robbie Thompson. He's just somebody whose work I have always found lacking. So I probably won't be in on Suicide Squad. So, and Suicide Squad, that's a title that for me is really creator dependent. If it's got a good creator on there, I'll love it and I'm picking it up and I'm reading every issue. And when it's got a creator that I don't care for, I'm not in. I drop it like pretty quickly. So I think Tom Taylor did an excellent job on it. I was kind of hoping to see him continue, but not to be. So I won't be in on this new Suicide Squad from Robbie Thompson or Eduardo Panseca, although I am going to check out their two Future State issues. Any thoughts on Shazam or Suicide Squad?
Shazam. Anytime I hear the word Shazam, I think delay. So it has a bad taste in my mouth right now. Suicide Squad, I'm always in on Suicide Squad. I mean, those books are just so fun just because you never know. Okay, I lie. You know who's going to die because there's certain characters. Well, I guess last run, you weren't too sure about it. But I'm not going to spoil what in case you want to read it. Obviously, it's always Harley, but then they mix in other characters. The Tom Taylor run that you were saying was just really, really good. I loved it. I love that twist with the Atom. I'm always up for another good Suicide Squad book. I don't really like it a lot of the time when they start mixing it with the movies because I feel like it really disturbed the flow. But I am so curious to see what this whole Peacemaker stuff is all about. And so seeing him in a book it will probably help. And yeah, just we'll see if it works. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I remember when they added Joker's daughter on there and they had Man-Bat. It was just so bad. Yeah. Who else did they have on there? I was just like, no, that's a bad idea. I thought that Black Manta worked when he was on the team. Anyway, this isn't a Suicide Squad conversation. So yeah, I'm in.
All right, up next we have a couple of Superman titles. I was really hoping we were going to find out. This is what interests me the most. We're finally going to get rid of Bendis after Future State. Who is writing the Superman titles? Again, we don't see Dan Jurgens' name on any of this. Could he be coming back for a third take at Superman? I kind of doubt it. I think he's probably ready to do something else. We also don't see very much Robert Venditti. His favorite character is Superman. His dream has always been to write Superman. Could he be writing Superman? For that matter, Tom Taylor is a huge Superman fan and would love to take a crack at the character. I think he's writing Aquaman, but he easily could be writing Aquaman and a Superman title, so we just don't know. But what we do know is that we have a couple of Future State Superman titles, so let's talk about those now. Future State Superman of Metropolis number one, several stories. The first is written by Sean Lewis with art by John Timms. It's called The Superman of Metropolis. We have a Guardian story called The Guardian, also written by Sean Lewis with art by Cully Hamner. Then we have a Mr. Miracle story. That's right, a Mr. Miracle story in a Superman title written by Brandon Easton with art by Valentin Delandro. So in this particular Superman title, for Future State, Clark Kent has left for parts unknown, and he's left the protection of Earth in the hands of his son, Jonathan Kent. Jonathan Kent is now Superman, and according to the cover, he's a Superman that doesn't wear a cape, which is, just looks kind of weird to me. But anyway, his idea to protect Metropolis when Brainiac attacks is to shrink Metropolis down and put it into a bottle, just like the city of Kandor. And Supergirl or Super, yeah, she's called Supergirl, but it must be Superwoman. Maybe it's not I'm not sure. I think it's still Kara coming from the moon, but maybe it's a mistake on the solicit. Maybe the timeline is before she's Superwoman. Anyway, she finds out about John shrinking down Metropolis and putting it in a bottle and is not happy about that because Kandor was her home city. And we know that Rogalzar destroyed it. She had a hard time with that. So she probably doesn't want to see that happen to Metropolis. Interesting choice by John. I'm curious about this. Sean Lewis, I've read some of his stuff he's done for Aftershock. I've liked it. But I've never read him doing any superhero stuff. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. I don't know if he has the chops. And again, I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying I don't know. I haven't read enough of his stuff. I'm not familiar enough with his work to know if he has the chops to handle this. And him writing the second story, The Guardian, that seems a little more up his alley to me. I'm just so picky when it comes to Superman. But I'm going to try to go into it with an open mind. And then the fact that there's a Mr. Miracle story in a Superman book, so interesting. And that I should also say that Guardian story is set in Metropolis, the Metropolis that's in the bottle. And then the Mr. Miracle that I'm talking about, it's not actually your Mr. Miracle, Manny. It's not Scott Free. It's Shiloh Norman, who is kind of Mr. Miracle 2 and has carried that moniker of Mr. Miracle several times during the history of the DCU. He's also trapped in the bottle looking for a way out. And as Mr. Miracle, he should escape everything and can't escape everything, right? So how that's going to play out, we'll have to wait and see. So it's a Superman book, but at the same time, there's no Clark Kent, there's no Kal-El. So it doesn't really feel, I almost feel like they should have called this Future State Superman Family instead of Superman of Metropolis. So I don't know. I guess we'll see. It doesn't, just from hearing about the types of stories and the characters, it's not really going to feel like Superman. But you have any thoughts on it?
It's Superman titles, man. I'm always like so iffy about because I'm not the biggest Superman fan.
But Mr. Miracle.
I know. If Mr. Miracle's involved, I'm going to definitely take a look.
No, I already know what's going to happen. You're going to go, okay, send me the preview copy, and you're just going to read the Mr. You'll flip through it, and you'll just end up reading the Mr. Miracle story, which is totally legitimate.
I'll be taking a look at the whole thing. But totally legitimate. We've talked about this a billion times. I'm beating a dead horse, but I'll say it again anyway. We had this amazing run of Superman and action, DC Rebirth, and then Bendis is coming, and then Bendis, and he was going to do all the Superman, and then immediately we saw a Superman that was very different than the one that we had gotten used to, and that completely turned me off from the entire book, and I have not picked up a Superman book since.
Yeah, and that's why I'm so interested to find out who's going to be writing Superman when Bendis leaves, and are they going to undo all the crap Bendis did?
I hope so.
He aged John back down. just forget the Bendis stuff happened. I don't know. But we don't know. There are three Superman Future State books. So let me talk about the next one. It's Future State Superman versus Imperious Lex, written by one of your favorite creators, Mark Russell, art by Steve Pugh. Welcome to Lexor. Now, Lexor, if you're not familiar with the history of Superman, it's been a planet that Lex has helped over the years. They used to be an advanced society, and then something happened. They lost the knowledge, but all the equipment was still there. This was like way back in like Superman, like 180 or 154, or something like that. And Lex ended up on the planet. He's Lex. He's super smart. So he figured out how to work all the old ancient machinery and got, you know, them irrigation working again and their crops growing again and whatever, and they thought he was like the greatest thing since sliced bread, and they renamed their planet Lexor and they kind of worshipped him. So drawing from that history from previous Superman stories and previous eras of DC Universe, welcome to Lexor, home of the greatest businessman in the multiverse, Lex Luthor. After years of prosperity, Lex's utopia is ready to join the ranks of United Planets and promote peace among worlds. However, Lex has never done anything unless he had something to gain from it. What could he be up to this time? Sounds like a job for Superman and his wife, Lois Lane, the Earth's representative to the United Planets. It's time the Man of Steel shut down his former Metropolis magnet once and for all. So interesting, more political book. Sounds like it's more focused on Lex. this is the future. How is Lois Lane still alive? That threw me for a loop. But I'm always a sucker for a good Lex versus Superman story. And focusing on the businessman aspect of it reminds me of the John Byrne era when Lex really, that was kind of the first time we saw him as the businessman, the big tycoon. Still being able to be a good nemesis for Superman, even though he didn't really have the powers, didn't have the Lex armor and those kind of things that he'd had in the past. So, and Mark Russell, who handles that kind of story, politics and business and kind of cultural commentary, he's the perfect guy to do it, right? I mean, we talk about like Perez and Flintstones and things like that. So it's a Superman title, Manny, but Mark Russell, are you in on this one?
Hell yeah, with Mark Russell. With what he did on the Flintstones, man. And then Steve Pye is a pretty good artist as well. So, you know, Lex Luthor's story, I'm also all for it. So I am excited that with that creative team, they could be writing whatever. Whatever, Snagglepuss, and I'll read it.
Yeah, Snagglepuss is another really great title.
Was good, actually. So that was a terrible example.
So come March, Superman, one of the Superman titles continues with Mark Russell and Steve Puh. You keep reading Superman if Mark Russell's writing it?
Yeah, definitely.
That would be really interesting to see what he would do.
Yeah, I wonder if you what kind of, like you were talking, like, you know, what kind of commentary he would attach to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I almost feel like he would give me vibes of when Captain America kind of turned anti-government and was like, I'm Captain America.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not the government. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. That'd be good. Good stuff.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. The third Superman title is Future State Superman Worlds of War. So it's written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, art by Mikhail Yanin on Superman. Yes, I love his Superman. Then we have a Midnighter story written by Michael Conrad and Becky Cloonan, same writers that are going to be handling Wonder Woman, art by Gleb Melnikov on that one. And then we've got a Black Racer story written by Jeremy Adams with art by Saya Ohm. And we got a fourth story here, Mr. Miracle, this time the Mr. Miracle that you know and love, Scott Free, written by Brandon Easton with art by Valentin D'Alandro. So a bunch of stuff to unpack here. Philip Kennedy Johnson recently did the Wonder Woman Black Label series, which was really, really great. So we know, we talked about when we were talking about the Superman of Metropolis series that Clark left Earth, Kal-El left Earth, and he left the protection of Earth in the hands of his son. This is the reason he left, that he had to leave. Because Mongol, and this is not the Mongol that we were first introduced to, but Mongol's son, who also is named Mongol, he has taken over War World, and Superman is worried that he's becoming too powerful. So Superman has left Earth to go to War World, and he's fighting as a gladiator in the deadly pits, so that he can figure out how to stop Mongol and his hordes. So it kind of reminds me of that Superman Exile story, the first time we saw Superman kind of fight as a gladiator. And that's a nostalgic run for me back in the 90s. And I'm pretty excited for this one, especially because it's Mikhail Yanin art. The Midnighter story, there's not a lot here. It just says, at the same time, Midnighter, the greatest fighter from Earth, is punching his way through a whole mess of trouble. He's on a hunt for a new energy source deadlier than kryptonite, and his goal is to shut it down before it gets unleashed on an unsuspecting universe. So don't know if that means we might have some Midnighter content, Midnighter and Apollo content or whatever coming March. Maybe, maybe not. Midnighter is an interesting character to me, but I've never been sucked in and really been a huge fan of him. I think he has a lot of potential, but I think it's been untapped up to this point. On the other side of War World, other agents are at work struggling for a better life. I take that back. I was wrong. It's not. This is still not Scott Free, Mr. Miracle, because it says Shiloh Norman, the man known as Mr. Miracle, has ridden a boom tube across the cosmos from Metropolis to find himself at odds with an entire planet. So we've got a Mr. Miracle story in two different Superman titles, and they're both Shiloh Norman Mr. Miracles, so that's interesting. And then I did mention there's also a Black Racer story. On top of that, the Black Racer, and this isn't the Black Racer that we've seen before, member of the New Gods, because this time it's a girl, and she's raised, has been raised in the slums of a warlord to be one of its top competitors, and it turns to betrayal in a crusade to fight for the freedom of others like her. So getting quite a bit of New Gods material here in this Superman Worlds of War. Maybe that's because of the upcoming New Gods movie. DC's trying to raise the New Gods profile, but we're getting Black Racer, a new Black Racer, and Shiloh Norman, Mr. Miracle. I wonder why so much Shiloh Norman, and where the heck is Scott Free at these days? So, I don't know. Like I said, I'm excited for this, for the Mikel Yanin art. I'm excited because of that nostalgia back to the Superman Exile storyline, but too much Superman as a gladiator is not going to do it for me. So I'm glad this is just a couple of issues, and hopefully we'll get back to a normal Superman title, and who's writing it. Don't know. Any thoughts about Superman Worlds of War?
Not really. Just, you know, going to check it out.
Yep. There's also a Superman, a Wonder Woman title written by Dan Waters, art by Leila De Duca. Sun has set on the heroes of the past, a new age is dawning. As two arrogant gods challenge one another to a contest of strength, Superman and Wonder Woman are forced to take action to save their cities from chaos. Together, Jonathan Kent and Yara Flor, man of science and woman of myth, have the potential to become something powerful, but that's only if they can learn to get along. So Superman, Wonder Woman, but not the Superman, Wonder Woman that we're used to. Every previous Superman, Wonder Woman title has been Clark Kent and Diana Prince, the Superman and Wonder Woman we know. This is that new generation. Curious to see how they get along. And is the friction and they're not getting along, is it one of those things where, like, you know, first graders go pull the pigtails of the girl that they like on the playground? You know, not necessarily the most mature relationship. So I guess we'll see. I don't expect there to be a Superman Wonder Woman title coming in March, because that title never sold well. So any thoughts on this one?
I mean, I wasn't a fan when they did the book before, so that might be one but it might be on the bottom of the stack.
Yeah, fair enough. There is a Future State Swamp Thing as well, written by Ram V, art by Mike Perkins. And just like a lot of the other Future State books, it's a whole new, different world. Remnants of humanity are in hiding. There's a new avatar of the Green, and Swamp Thing kind of has to come out of retirement and keep the peace, because if it's going to be a war between humanity and the Green, maybe neither one survives. So Swamp Thing is going to be there to sort of save the day. Never been a big Swamp Thing fan. I know Manny is. And this is another one of those where same creative team here is going to be on the new title. And Manny had mentioned it, that we already know Ram V and Mike Perkins are going to be the team that's going to launch a new Swamp Thing ongoing series in March. And it's been a long time since there's been a Swamp Thing solo title. He's been in the pages of Justice League Dark here and there, but with a new 52 Swamp Thing launch, and it was Scott Snyder. I think a lot of people forget that Scott Snyder launched the Swamp Thing New 52 series when it started back up with the new number one. He was writing Swamp Thing along with Batman. And then when he left the book, another writer took over the series and wrote with issue 19 and wrote it until it ended with issue 40. And it's also another writer who's become a big name. Do you know who took over Swamp Thing from Scott Snyder?
No.
They've actually become really good friends. And I think the seeds of that friendship were Scott talking to Charles Soule about what his plans were, and, you know, kind of that handoff. That's where I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's where their friendship started. So this is going to be the first time since the Scott Snyder, Charles Soule run of Swamp Thing that Swamp Thing has a a solo title. And again, I think Ram V is so super talented. This is the exactly the type of book he's suited for. He's done such a great job on Justice League Dark that I'm almost surprised. I mean, I'm not, because I've met him and I know how articulate and intelligent he is, that he is giving this Michael Mann-esque Catwoman title such... He's doing such a great job on that. But Justice League Dark is the, you know, the work of his that I've read the most, and he's done such an incredible job on that. And it's got that supernatural feel. So he feels like the perfect writer to relaunch Swamp Thing. Mike Perkins, similarly, his art style, very well suited to Swamp Thing, a lot of detail, a lot of creepiness to his art when he wants it to be there. So I think it's a great choice. And all that being said, I don't think I'm going to read it because I'm just not a big Swamp Thing fan. But I know you're on board, right? Like, you're pretty excited for this one.
Swamp Thing's a great character. Even the TV series that was done magnificently until Warner Brothers butchered it because of X reasons that you can call. And then the character is just really cool. I mean, if you think about it, he's a very, very powerful entity that is still even in play in Dark Knight's Death Metal. And then he comes up and he's really in tune with the earth, with the green, as they call it. A lot of times you need a favor, Constantine or whoever, they have to go through Swamp Thing. Something's going wrong with the earth, Swamp Thing's going to know about it because he's so in tune with earth. I think he also had a part in revitalizing Superman one time in a story arc. I forgot which one it was. But yeah. Of course. And then Ram, he's just, you know, like you mentioned, been doing great. So.
Yeah, for sure. He's just really, really talented writer. Okay. A couple more here. We've got Future State Teen Titans written by Tim Sheridan, art by Rafa Sandoval. When the original Teen Titans school formed, it was to mentor and train young heroes. They wanted to save the world. Years later, Titans Tower is a monument to a graveyard of students lost in terrible battles. Returning to the site of their greatest failure, the original Titans, Nightwing, Starfire, Beast Boy, and Cyborg join Raven to plot a course to face off against an evil that destroyed their team and school. So loyalties are questioned, motives are suspect, as the former team must turn to the mysterious Red X, a former student, and I mentioned first appeared in the cartoon, but is now going to be in the pages of the comics. But they have to turn to Red X for help. Don't miss the first comics appearance of this Red X, previously seen only in the animated TV series Teen Titans Go. So, curious about this one. I do like that they're bringing kind of the original Titans back together. And here's another example where this same creative team, Tim Sheridan, Rafa Sandoval, are going to be launching a new Teen Titans series in March. So, you know, with Rebirth, we had Titans written by Abnett and Lanning, I think, or maybe it was just Dan Abnett. And then we had the Teen Titans that I can't even remember who launched that one, but I know that it eventually got taken over by somebody whose name I am drawing a blank. Adam, who wrote Rough Riders? Adam Glass.
I'm glad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was writing the Teen Titans. So you had two. You had Titans, which was the older original Titans, Wally West and Nightwing and all them. And then you had the Teen Titans, which was the younger generation. So now we're getting a new Teen Titans. But who is going to be in it is the question. It seems to be a little bit up in the air, but we do know that it's going to be that same creative team. And actually it's going to be called New Titans Academy, apparently. And we have seen that Red X is going to be in that title. And there's also this weird hybrid of like Nightwing and Deathstroke from one of the images that we saw. So what that means is anybody's guess. I guess. Because all they've said is that the creative team for future state Teen Titans, Tim Sheridan and Rafa Sandoval, are going to launch a Teen Titans Academy series in March. And the new series will tell the story of the founding of the Academy by former members of the Teen Titans. So it's almost like their future state series is talking about when the Teen Titans Academy, like the wreckage and all the pupils that died there. And then after they've told kind of the end of the story, it sounds like Tim Sheridan and Rafa Sandoval are going to be able in March to start telling the story of the founding of it and bring Red X in that way. So it sounds kind of interesting. I've never been the biggest Teen Titans fan. Obviously the Marv Wolfman, George Perez stuff is classic, but since then it's been a series that's been inconsistent at times. The Geoff Johns run is really beloved, but there's been other times where, you know, you put Damian on the team and I'm not going to read it. So, but yeah, any thoughts about Teen Titans?
I'm in on it. Tim Sheridan, I think I've talked to him actually a couple of times, and he's been involved in several of the TV animation films, TV and movie, and The Reign of Superman, Death and Return of Superman. Oh yeah, definitely. I have talked to him then.
Yeah.
He was involved with DC Superhero Girls, Superman, Man of Tomorrow. And he's writing the TV miniseries for Master of Universe Revolution. So as far as what he has, you know, his story for Teen Titans, I'm excited to see what he's got. Teen Titans is always a fun book for me. I like it. I like Teen Titan books.
Yeah, I mean, based on the strength of Starfire, Nightwing, Beast Boy, right. Cyborg, like that's my team of Teen Titans. And I just find it so interesting that in the future state, they're going to kind of tell the end of the story. And then, hey, if it's good enough, I'm going to want to go back and see the beginning.
I'm not
going to
do that.
All right, last book is Future State Wonder Woman number one, written by Joelle Jones. Art also by Joelle Jones. So this is the Yara Floor focused Future State series. Again, I said, you know, there's several Superman titles, there's several Wonder Woman titles, and then you have the Superman Wonder Woman, which is the Yara Floor and Jonathan Kent series. So we know the other Wonder Woman title was more focused on Diana and Clark, right? And you know, the future, and they're off in space, doing all those crazy things that you would expect these long-lived heroes to be involved in when they're things that are, big. I mean, it's called Immortal Wonder Woman, so you expect it to be big and Age of Gods and blah, blah, blah. The Joelle Jones series with Yara Floor, it's much more grounded. I would say it's even, you know, a less experienced Wonder Woman, a less powerful Wonder Woman, because it's somebody who I think is kind of discovering what it means to be a hero. At least that's what it feels like. So the solicitation says, deep in the heart of the Amazon rainforest lies a hero of mythic legend, Wonder Woman. But in the absence of Diana, Yara Floor has risen out of obscurity to protect man's world from the magic that lies within it. Along with her trusty Steed, she journeys to the underworld to rescue one of her Themyscirian sisters from the grasp of Hades. Will she unleash the wrath of this god in the process? You won't want to miss this first appearance of a character who will change the history of Wonder Woman forever. So we already know that, as I mentioned earlier, Joelle Jones is going to be writing a Wonder Girl title. I have a feeling it's going to be Yara Floor as the new Wonder Girl. How Cassie Sandsmark or Diana Troy play into that, whether they're training her, whether they're, you know, supporting characters, showing her how to be Wonder Girl and maybe one day take over the mantle of Wonder Woman. I guess that's to be seen, but this is kind of her further down the path, I imagine, after she's already established herself. I mean, it's called Future State Wonder Woman, as opposed to the new series that comes out in March from Joelle Jones is going to be, how does she get to this point to where she's powerful and confident enough to invade the underworld to take on Hades? So this, I mean, I'm kind of up in the air about this. I still feel like DC needs to establish the Wonder Woman they have, you know, like with a definitive era and a good run and a long, creative team that stays on for a long time before they start, oh, well, let's, you know, get a new one in here. So I'm of two minds. I mean, maybe this is the way they do it. Maybe this works. I don't know, but I'm definitely in for the, you know, the two future state issues, whether or not I'm in on the series in March, the Wonder Girl series. I don't know. I do like Cassie Sandsmark as a character, and I do like Donna Troy as a character, but I don't know. I'll have to wait and see. I do like the fact that it's Joelle Jones doing the Future State Wonder Woman and the Wonder Girl that's coming in March, because if I like this, then I'll probably like Joelle's work on that. And Joelle's a great creator. I mean, she's had a good run on Catwoman. Her Lady Killer series from Dark Horse is spectacular, so, okay, so expect good things. It just may not be a story that I'm interested in. So do you have any thoughts on it, Manny?
Yeah, I'm very interested in it because it's going to be the basis, like I mentioned earlier, for that television show that they're doing on CW. So I've got to get as much knowledge as I can on it now. And that way, you know, we'll be better suited for when we got to talk to them. And,
yeah, good point. That. Good so point.
You know, it's one of those, too, that I wonder the sales of the book or the pre-orders were, or I don't know if the cutoff was before, where it was like, what it was going for before, and then after the announcement, you know, how much more interest there was in that. I know it happened with Wonder Woman because of Maxwell Lord's daughter.
Yeah, well, like I said, the two highest order titles are that Teen Titans book with Red X and this mm-hmm. one, this Wonder Woman one with Yara Flor, because of the announcement. So, you know, this is kind of her. Is this her first appearance? I mean, it says you don't want to miss this first appearance of a character who will change the history of Wonder Woman forever. But we know that in the 5G world, things were being planned out way ahead of time. And we know that there is a young girl who's a person of color that shows up in that Wonder Woman Annual 4 by Steve Orlando. And when that book was being released, Orlando even said on social media, you may want to pick this up because there may or may not be the appearance of a character who's going to be pretty important going forward. You know, maybe that plans changed and it turns out that's not Yara Flor. Maybe it is. All I know is I bought two copies at the time. And then when Yara Flor, when it got announced that they were doing this Future State event, and Yara Flor was going to be a character in the Future State event, I went out and bought four more. I picked them up on eBay for less than cover price. I think I paid $3 instead of four. I got four more copies of that annual that supposedly is the first appearance of Yara Flor. But again, we don't have official confirmation of that. Well, then the TV show got announced, like you said, and then those annuals, now they go for like $25. Because people are speculating on whether or not that's her first appearance or not. So again, we don't know for sure if it is or if it's not. And you know, when it comes to comic book speculating, it doesn't even matter what DC says is her first appearance. It's going to be what the community of collectors and fans, whatever they decide is the first appearance, that's what the first appearance is. Because like everybody considers Hulk 181 the first appearance of Wolverine. But he actually shows up in issue 180. And on the last page, there's a full page splash of him. But people don't consider that his first appearance. They consider that a cameo. So kind of the same thing with Yara Flor. She just shows up in that annual as kind of a cameo. So I don't know. But you probably want to jump on and order yourself a copy just in case. Just in case Yara Flor becomes the new Wonder Woman of the future. And Diana Prince becomes Jay Garrick and kind of the old version, and Yara Flor becomes Barry Allen or Wally West and becomes, that's my Wonder Woman. I mean, maybe the TV show takes off and it's super popular.
You know what? Maybe it's just that time to, you know, the changing of the guard. I mean, it's happened before.
Yeah.
You know, the original Green Lantern is not Hal Jordan.
Yeah. Alan Scott for sure. Yeah,
So, you know, we'll have another one of those splash covers.
Who knows?
And you know, instead of Queen Hippolyta, you're gonna have you know, Diana on the throne now. And
yeah, could be.
So much.
Definitely could be, but that's gonna do it for this supersized spotlight on Future State. I'm glad we got a chance to talk about it. Manny and I have been wanting to do a spotlight on Future State and talk about these books, and I'm kind of glad that we waited as long as we did. Everybody else has done theirs, but our spotlight on Future State has the added bonus of, hey, look at all this information we know about what happens after Future State. And obviously, for me, like I said, the big question mark, because you and I both know, Manny, even though Batman pays the bills at DC, it feels like the quality of stories in their universe, as goes Superman, as go the Superman titles, so goes the DC universe.
Right.
That is such a huge question mark on who is going to take over the Superman titles now that Bendis is gone. And they're still paying Bendis a crap ton of money. Are they going to pay Bendis a crap ton of money to just write Legion of Superheroes? Not likely. I mean, I know that he's planning on bringing Naomi back. As Manny mentioned, we know Naomi's in development at CW now. So they're going to want to probably get a title up and running for her again to coincide with that. What else does he do? Does he bring Young Justice back? Does he focus on his creator-owned stuff? Don't know. Not sure what the future holds, but I hope they keep him away from the main characters. I don't want to see him on Flash or Justice League or Green Lantern. Stick him off in his own corner and let him do whatever he's going to do. So, and I think when you give him a co-writer, somebody who's super talented like David F. Walker, I think it can work. I mean, I thought the Naomi title was probably the best thing he did, but he wasn't scripting that. You know, he's just kind of somebody to bounce ideas off of. So still, I had big hopes to find out who the new Superman creative teams are going to be, but we'll have to wait for another day. Anything else you want to add, Manny? Are you excited?
Well, just kind of, you know, enjoy it for what it is, for the ideas, for the future, or for what the future of the DC can look like, not necessarily for what it's going to be. And also get a taste of all these creative teams that are going to be working on all these titles to, you know, then pick out what you want to be reading going forward. So it's a good time to just kind of dip your toes into the DC universe and to you really learn about certain characters and learn about writers, artists, and kind of find out what you want. And then that way your 2021 isn't as lonely as it, you know, as it could be.
Yeah, a couple final thoughts for me. Number one, everybody please pray that the magistrate doesn't have anything to do with Joker.
Oh, yeah, that too.
And number two, you do kind of wonder with the changing of the guard and so many of the old editorial team from DC moving on, how much they're bringing in new creators so that they won't have any of the old bad habits, or they're not going to hear, you know, Pamela Lyford's not going to hear, well, that's not how we used to do it. You know what I mean? Or we used to get paid this. Why are we getting paid so much less now? You know what I mean? So maybe it's going hand in hand with all the changes in editorial. Hey, let's get some new creative blood in here as well, because we can pay them less and they won't, you know, we're not going to hear that. They maybe they're just excited to be working on comics, and, you know, they're not longtime veterans that know they're being taken advantage of. And I know that sounds terrible. And I'm not saying that you know, DC's going out of their way to try to take advantage of people. I don't know that, but I do know that Pamela Lyford is trying to make it as profitable as possible. And I also know that DC had some of the highest page rates for writers and artists in the industry. And they may be, you know, going, why are we paying the most when Marvel still beats us every month in sales? Let's scale back a little bit. So I'm excited for Future State, and even more excited to see what happens with DC after that. And also excited to find out about this quote unquote rebirth at Marvel Comics, and see if it's a time to jump on some of those titles. So again, everybody, thanks so much for joining us as always. Hope you enjoyed this look at Future State.
Give us your thoughts on social media. Let us know what you're looking forward to. And as always, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.